This is a trimmed down podcast version of Tracks of My Life from RNIB Connect Radio. Hello, I'm Toby Davey and you're listening to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio. In Tracks of My Life, we invite a guest to select a few tracks that mean something to them and mark moments in their life, from maybe that first track they ever heard, right through to one track that they would like to pass on that might give hope for the future. My guest this week is professional artist, contemporary sculptor and sight loss charity ambassador Victoria Clare, who was first diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa at the age of 19. This autumn we'll see a final exhibition of her work in Ireland as Victoria retires from the art industry to start a new chapter in her life. Hello Victoria and welcome to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello Toby, it's lovely to be here and thank you for having me.
I think many people might think because you went to art college and you have been a professional artist for a number of years as a sculptor that you might have maybe an extensive collection of tracks to choose from, whether they're on vinyl or CD or maybe downloaded. Is that right, Victoria, that you've got quite a large collection of tracks to choose from for your Tracks of My Life?
It was so, so hard to like narrow it down to 7 tracks. It was really difficult. I've got so, so many songs that have run almost like the background of my life. So it was tricky to narrow that down.
And your first track is from that film and subsequent TV series, which I think everyone can remember back in the early 80s, which of course is Fame. Was it the TV series that really sort of inspired you, or was it the film? And what sort of age were you when it all came out, and what was life like for you back then?
Okay, so we're going to go right back to, I think I was about 5, I think I'm going to say. So the wonderful 1980s, and the leg warmers were ever so fashionable at the time, and you know the TV series was the thing that I really loved. It was on a Saturday night. It was something to get excited about. It was about dancing. It was about young people. It was about a little bit of, you know, a little bit of sass, a bit of freedom going on with that whole era, I think. And I think the thing is with Fame, it just resonated, I think, with a lot of children of my age, really. And I just loved it. I've always loved the performing arts. I've always been somebody that's been quite inspired by dancing, and obviously I'm a musician as well, so music has been a very, very, very big part of my life. So yeah, I'd say I was about 5. I'd say really I liked listening to music and dancing to music as a little girl. So it was something that I always looked forward to.
For me, I think the TV series made more of an impact to me than the film. And I think at that time, for me, at the age I was, it was more about Bruno and his synths and all his other stuff that he had.
Absolutely, yeah.
I wondered whether there were any lasting parts of Fame that stood out for you and maybe sort of inspired you or impressed you at the time.
Yeah, I would say the teacher in the series was somebody that I really felt quite inspired by because of the way she would teach the students in that dance room was quite incredible. And she was just somebody that I always thought, wow, I'd love to be like her, you know.
And when you hear the theme tune, does it take you back to those days and, you know, those iconic images of the title scene of Fame?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to live forever. I wouldn't necessarily say that's something that I personally want. However, I think the song just takes you right back to those days in the 80s and what life was like back then for me.
The
the theme track from Fame there, and one that I think we can all remember. And I think the actual words in the titles of the TV series where the teacher says, "This is where you are going to pay with sweat," actually, I don't think actually appeared in the actual film. I think it was only in the TV series, but there we go. Victoria, for your next track, we are moving to art college time for you. And a track from the very iconic film that was out at that time, which we'll come to in a moment, because I'm sure people will remember what the film is from just hearing a bit of the track too. But was art college something that you had always wanted to get into? And was art something that was something around with you when you were growing up at home?
Yes, absolutely. I would say I was definitely a child that was creative. One of the stories of my childhood, which I like to link to in a kind of lucid way to sculpting, is my dad had a shed and a vise in his shed, and I used to go and raid the shed, go into the vise, use his tools, and yeah, I'm not sure how happy he was about it, but he let me do it, bless him. My mum used to give me wooden spoons from the kitchen that she was done with, and I would cut off the handles of these wooden spoons, and then I would shape them into old-fashioned pegs, you know, like clothes pegs. And that's probably something that I did from, yeah, sort of early age, like 4 or 5 kind of thing, 6. And then I was always drawing, absolutely loved to draw. All the way through my schooling, I showed a talent for drawing and painting and art in general, really. And then I started to get involved in graphic design. That was due to a teacher in my middle school who sort of picked up that there was a bit of talent there for graphic design. And I was advised to sort of go in that direction, as it was quite a good, solid job. And then that kind of led me into going to art college, really.
And the track that you've chosen, of course, it's from Top Gun. That reel.
The only one. I'm the biggest fan in the world.
And I think you and one of your best friends from art college at the time drove around in your cars with you as Maverick and your best friend as Goose.
Yes, absolutely.
Were they happy days for you driving around and with Top Gun blaring out of a car stereo?
Absolutely. It was, do you know what, if I could rewind to those days right now, I would be one happy lady. It was so much fun. There was, you know, I was 18, 19, you know, life was hard because of my diagnosis at 19 with my sight loss. But I think in a way, being at art college, you know, kind of having that gateway, you know, that gateway to the rest of your life, it just started for me, really. And to be able to drive, go to college, have a big group of friends, and have this absolutely cracking friend that, like, you know, is nicknamed Goose, and we used to just, you know, kind of let it go, really, and just enjoy what we were doing. And yeah, it was great fun. Bring back those days.
The unmistakable sound there of Kenny Logan and Danger Zone from Top Gun, and obviously fond memories for you, Victoria, and your friend bombing around in your cars and playing Top Gun really loud. We now come to a bit of a club anthem for you and club life as well. Which sort of clubs did you go to back then, and what was sort of club life like for you?
I started to go to clubs probably again around that same age, really. I was going to art college, so I made a whole new world of friends. And a lot of those friends were from Maidstone. So I used to hit the clubs a lot on Friday nights and Saturday nights with a group of friends. And we'd go to the notorious place that is no longer around, unfortunately. It was a place called Strawberry Moons. There was a couple of clubs as well, which was the Warehouse, which was iconic as well. Yeah, so there was several clubs. But then I also used to go to the Ministry of Sound. I used to go to a club called Orange, and that was up in London. So yeah, there was several clubs in those days.
And how did your sort of eyesight sort of, I suppose, play a part in that in a way? Because I know for me, when I was in my early 20s at college down in Falmouth, and I used to go to a very tiny club in Falmouth called Chardets or Shades, and it was very tiny and it had mirrored walls, so it wasn't particularly good for somebody who was visually impaired trying to navigate themselves around, especially when they've probably had a little bit too much to drink.
Yeah, it was interesting, let's say. As you say, when you're young, you're a bit, I won't say stupid, but I will say, you know, you're not as wise as I'm sure we are these days. So, you know, probably drank, you know, as most did. And that probably covered it in a way, because people from the outside would just think, oh, OK, maybe she's had a little bit too much to drink. But half the time I actually hadn't. It was just the fact that I couldn't see. But I did have a really good group of friends that, you know, always looked out for me and helped me when I needed it and stuff like that. So, yeah, I was well catered for with the gang.
And do you think your vision at that time had any sort of, I suppose, impact or effect on the art that you were doing?
I would say at that time, probably not, because, you know, it was still very much about doing graphic design as a career. But at that point as well, I'd already started to find sculpture. So I was very cheeky. I was on a graphic design course. However, I was handing in huge, great big totem poles and figurative pieces of work for briefs that were graphic design based. I don't know how I got away with it, but I did. And, you know, I think really the universe was kind of trying to tell me something, you know, at the end of the day. Obviously, graphic design is a very visual, very, very visual form. But sculpture is most certainly not. It's a very tactile thing to do. So it's almost like the universe was telling me, okay, come on, let's follow something that's going to be more tactile and you're going to be able to continue with, even with your sight loss.
And Victoria, what is the track that you've chosen that celebrates those clubbing days for you, and what comes back to you when you hear this track?
Oh, it's a very, very retro track of the 1990s, and it's called Let Me Be Your Fantasy by Baby D. And it just brings back so many memories of laughter, of reckless abandon, and just getting out on that dance floor and just dancing till I couldn't dance anymore.
A bit of a club anthem there for you, Victoria. We now come to a time when you went backpacking around America with your best friend, or one of your friends. What made you want to go backpacking, and where did you go? Because I think you went around America. Did you see all the things that you wanted to see?
Yes, well, initially, what made me want to go travelling was another good friend of mine. It's a little theme running through this, isn't there? Friends are all very important to me. And one of my friends had been to Australia, and she had a wonderful, wonderful time and would tell me all of these crazy antics and the things that she'd seen. And she just honestly one day sat down with me and just gave me a really great piece of advice. And that piece of advice was, Vicky, go and see the world while you can. And obviously my condition is retinitis pigmentosa, which is a progressive disease. So at that time of my life, which was about 23, I still had relatively okay vision during the day. It was the night blindness, which was the opposite. So I was completely blind at night. So I kind of took her advice, really. And my very best friend, Lou, wanted to do some traveling as well, and it just aligned with when I wanted to do it. So we decided, okay, let's do this. We flew into America and then quickly flew out of America up to Canada, to Toronto, and then we did a really big portion of the trip was going around Canada. And then we came back down to the States, back down to Boston, New York. And then we crossed country across to California and did an awful lot of California. And then actually crossed the borders into Mexico and went something like 630 miles down into Mexico, which was kind of not planned. But it was a thing that I really wanted to do. I've always been inspired by the Latin kind of Americas. So I was really glad I did it. I saw some absolutely wonderful, wonderful things that I feel just so blessed and so honoured to have witnessed.
As an artist and a sculptor, did you go and visit many of the sort of very famous galleries and museums in America? And did that have any sort of impact on your work, either out in America? Did you do any work in America, perhaps, or when you came back?
I definitely didn't do work whilst I was travelling, but I did go to several large exhibitions and galleries. So most certainly in Boston and New York. And of course, Henry Moore, as I probably haven't said, but Henry Moore is actually... Henry Moore and Barbara Hepworth are my two favourite, you know, icons of the sculpting world. So it was an honour to see a piece of Henry Moore's work outside the National Gallery of New York.
Yeah, I think there is something about seeing iconic works of art, you know, that you may have only seen on telly or in books and stuff, and being there in front of it physically, and there's nothing better than that. It's like, you know, sort of you go and see some of the old masters in France, and being in front of them, there's something more, isn't there?
Yeah, it's lovely. I mean, you know, it's it just brings you ground, I think, brings you to ground, if that makes sense, as an artist, because these people have, you know, they've paved the way for, you know, new generations of artists, really, and inspired us all. So it's always fabulous to actually go and actually experience their work. And the thing I found about America, which I particularly liked, was the fact that all of their galleries are free. So as a young person that was traveling, you know, that was good to do, because, you know, and I still thoroughly believe that art should be for all. You know, it shouldn't be segregated to people that could just, you know, the only people that can afford to go to these places. I really do advocate that art should be available for everybody.
What is the track that you have chosen that takes you back to those backpacking days? And are there any, apart from the art, are there any standout moments or stories you can share with us about your trip?
Yes, so the track is by Lenny Kravitz and it's called Fly. And I distinctly remember listening to this song. I think he must have released it at the time in America when I was out there. And it was just on every radio possible. You know, you'd walk into a hostel and it was playing in the kitchen, or you'd walk into a shop and it was playing. And it just reminded me that the whole reason I was doing this was to gain some freedom and to sense who I was, you know, to find myself as an individual. And to go traveling is such a beautiful way to do that. And you know, I had so much fun. I, you know, it was crazy. It was a learning curve. I met myself very dramatically, but I'd do it all over again in a heartbeat. You know, traveling to me is something that's always been a big part of my life, and I've done many, many backpacking trips since then as well. So yeah, I think it really is a good song that brings back those memories of perhaps the freer times of my life.
Some great guitar riffs there with Fly by Lenny Kravitz. Victoria, we now come to a track that means quite a lot to you and helped you through possibly a very bad time. Would you be happy to tell me a bit about those days that, you know, were quite bad for you?
Well, obviously, sight loss is just that, it's loss, it's grief. And having progressive sight loss is almost like a constant reminder and a constant reliving of grief, because you can cope with the situation you're in, but as it constantly changes, you're hitting different changes and different situations with the sight loss as your sight loss deteriorates. And deterioration in itself is something that is a continuum. It's like the beast that you can't run away from and you can't outrun, So over the years I've learned, techniques and adaptation and to be adjusting to my ever-changing situation. But I would say probably 2019 was a particularly hard, well, the beginning of a very hard 3 years. And my sight loss really started to get into those final stages. And I was noticing, whilst I was sculpting in my studio, I was creating a collection for an exhibition. And I was noticing that the world was slowly disappearing in an abyss of white. So it was as if I could, as if I was walking through a very, very thick white fog. I was noticing that I could no longer see my loved ones' faces. I was feeling very, very lost, as if I was the one that was lost in that thick fog. And of course, then we was hit with the pandemic, which then was almost like a double isolation, because I felt isolated from the rest of the world within my own parameters because of, this white that I was evoked in. And, I say was, I still am. And then being locked down, in lockdown, and not really being understood by perhaps the people that, I would have preferred to understand, but not everybody's going to understand. And don't get me wrong, I bear no grudge there at all. It's just it was just a very difficult time to support anybody, really, I believe.
And the track that did help you through those dark days is Survivor by Emily Sandé. Why this particular track? Is it the lyrics in it that said something to you at the time?
Absolutely, it really was, because it made me reflect on the things that I have survived, because this isn't my first hard time. Obviously, as I've said, progressive sight loss gives you many hard times, really. But I guess at 19, when I was first diagnosed, I also had a terrible time of adjusting and understanding. I was just in complete denial. I left art college. I finished my graphic design course, but and I'd won a place on a really prestigious sculpting course for which there was only 28 places in the whole Europe. And I went to this university that was in Stafford, but as I was kind of settling in before the course even began, it was becoming so apparent to me that I was just completely out of my depth. And I couldn't do what I needed to do, which was do that course, because I just didn't have the right support to be able to do it, unfortunately. And I was a newbie. I'd literally just been diagnosed. I had no training in terms of living skills as a young visually impaired woman, so the only thing that I could do was leave. So that kind of led me into a very dark time as well, into those early 20s, really. So I've been through quite a bit, and I guess Survivor reminds me that that's exactly what I am. I'm a survivor.
Baby, I've been lost to see. I've been in the dark. I thank God that I'm survived.
very powerful track there by Emily Sandé. For your next track, Victoria, it is one which is a bit of an uplifting track and one which I think will always make you get up and dance, even if there are difficult times. There is something about music and how it can lift your spirits and lift your soul and take you into different moods and things like that. And before we talk a little bit more about the track, I wondered whether music helps you when you are working as an artist. Are there particular types of music that you would have on in the studio when you're working?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, I've got to speak from a musician's perspective too. So I've been a musician for as long as I've been a sculptor. I love to play piano. I virtually started just on an acoustic guitar and started songwriting that way. So music is like food to my soul. I can't live without music. I love the English language. I think if we are able to express ourselves through lyrics, it's a wonderful outlet. So for me, having that musician's kind of ethos and the love of music really, really underpinned what I was doing in my studio through my sculpture. You know, again, sculpture to me has always been an extension of myself. It's been something where I can express whatever it is I'm feeling at that time when I'm creating a piece. And it's exactly the same with music. So, of course, the music would always kind of evoke that sense of self and evoke that sense of expression with whatever it was I was creating at that time.
So, Victoria, what is it about your next track that does make you get up and dance?
Well, the track is called Therapy, which I'm a thorough believer in anyway. I'm very much about self-development. I'm very inquisitive about myself. I like to self-inquire. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to be a better person. So therapy to me is something that's been running and weaving in and out of my life for a long time. That's indeed what the song is called, Therapy. But it's a big dance tune. It's one of those that is quite an empowering song. It's got such a deep, heavy melody to it, which I don't think you could sit there and not tap your foot to. That's in the very least. So it's a great song to uplift that mood and give yourself a little bit of self-belief.
Therapy there, and a very powerful track for you, Victoria. We now come to your final track, the one that you might pass on to others that might give people hope for the future. Victoria, what is the track and why have you chosen it?
Well, the track is called Yes You Will, Yes You Can. It's by Emily Sandé again. And I've chosen it because it's been something since this new album has come out for her. For me, it's almost been like a companion, if that makes sense, to the life that I'm finding myself in at the moment. And the fact that, you know, I'm transitioning from one life to another because I am going forward as an independent single woman. And I'm also looking at changing my career. So, in fact, I am, as of the end of October, after my last exhibition, which will be in Ireland, I'm going to be retiring from the art industry. But I do have a great passion and enthusiasm to go into this very field of work, which is radio presenting. So sometimes when you're coming from something that you've done for so long, 30 years worth of being a sculptor on a professional level, is quite a scary thing to leave that, because it's like all I've ever known. And to be as bold and brave and jump ship from that to something that I've never done, but I know I love. I say this song because sometimes we all need to believe in ourselves. Sometimes it's hard to believe in yourself. But we all need to find that self-belief from within so that we can potentially be the best version of ourselves. And this song really helps me, even in the times when I'm not feeling confident, that, you know, you will do this if you want it. If you want something bad enough, you can make anything happen. And that's what I get from this song. And this is why I say this song to everybody else, because I think that's the ethos I would like to put out there. No matter what your adversity, no matter what you're facing through life, there is always a solution and a resolution. And please never give up, you know, never give up, never give in, and believe in yourself, and you can make anything happen.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Victoria Clare, for sharing your Tracks of My Life with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
You're most welcome. Thank you, Toby.
Does it feel